Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Sylvia F. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from San Francisco. Today is Wednesday, October 25th, 2017. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 163. We're on the second paragraph that starts with "We know of an AA member," and we're going to read through four paragraphs. Today's readers are Rebecca S. for the 12 steps, Liz T. for the 12 traditions, and readers of the text are Dion R. and Rocky I. And our newcomer greeter at the end of the hour is Melanie C. The share ID codes for Tuesday, October 24th meeting, East Coast time, 10 a.m., is 10583, 10583. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, Wednesday, October 25th, 7 a.m., Eastern time, is 10585, 10585. Our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA and to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Rebecca S. to read the 12 steps. Rebecca.
Hi, good morning. This is Rebecca S., recovering compulsive overeater from Southern California. Our 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except one to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks.
Thank you, Rebecca S. I will now ask Liz T. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning. This is Liz T. in Minnesota, recovering compulsive overeater. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Sylvia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OE group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service. Pass.
Thank you, Liz T. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except for the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 163. It's the second paragraph, which starts with, "We know of an AA member." We'll read through 4 paragraphs, ending with how to create the fellowship you crave. And I will now ask Dion R. to begin our reading. Dion.
Hi, good morning, Sylvia. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
All righty. Good morning. Hi, this is Dion R., a recovered compulsive overeater. We know of an AA member who was living in a large community. He had lived there but a few weeks, and he found the place probably contained more alcoholics per square mile than any city in the country. This was only a few days ago at this writing, 1939. The authorities were much concerned. He got in touch with a prominent psychiatrist who had undertaken certain responsibilities for the mental health of the community. The doctor proved to be able and exceedingly anxious to adopt any workable method of handling the situation. So he inquired, what did our friend have on the ball? Our friend proceeded to tell him, and with such good effect, the doctor agreed to a test among his patients and certain other alcoholics from the clinic which he attends. Arrangements were also made with the chief psychiatrist of a large public hospital to select still others from the stream of misery which flows through that institution. So our fellow worker will soon have friends galore. Some of them may sink and perhaps never get up. But if our experience is a criteria, more than half of those approached will become fellows of Alcoholics Anonymous. When a few men in that city have found themselves and have discovered the joy of helping others to face life again, there will be no stopping until everyone in the town has had the opportunity to recover, if he can and will. Still, you say, but I will not have the benefit to contact with you who write this book. We cannot be sure. God will determine that. So you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Asterisk is Alcoholics Anonymous. We'll be glad to hear from you. And the address is at the bottom, Grand Central in New York, 10163. Okay. Wow, when I read this, it just makes me, it gives me so much enthusiasm and hope, joy, and possibility, because even just to know that the psychiatrist is like, oh, God, I want to know what you guys found, what's going on. It's something that's workable. And in that first paragraph, it says, anxious to adopt a workable method of handling the situation. And even the doctors were admitting, I'm powerless. I can't do anything. We can't fix this. So the fact that that you guys found a solution, they got started with Alcoholics Anonymous, with working with another drunk or a compulsive overeater for us. But it just gives me so much hope. And I like the part where it says, but I want to meet with you guys, you know, the benefit of what those who, you know, wrote this book. And I always like that part because it gives me hope even still of losing many people into this program. Some just moved on, like passed away or whatever, and then others through the disease. But the ones I even know, and I just always have this dream that comes periodically that, you know, I just picture them wherever they are. They're somewhere, you know, having a meeting in the great beyond, you know, and just still carrying the message or living the message. And that is my hope, you know, just to live the message. I'm not no longer trying to sell over either Anonymous to people or, hey, come join, you know, and everything. Years ago, people were like, you sure? I had been going to program for 20 years and no effect, you know. Only thing it did was, give me, and I knew something was here, but I didn't know how to follow the instructions of the book, which is work the 12 steps. Work the 12, continue, 10, 11, and 12. Because I felt like I did 12, and I'll just say 12 and 12, and I didn't do the continual inventory and to develop a fellowship or have something that somebody wanted, you know. And I was like, oh, I go to OA. They was like, you sure you don't want to try that workshop or so? So it was just like, that was my higher power. I still think, and if somebody said the stubbornness in me, I don't know, but whatever it was, I kept coming back. And to this day, I'm glad I keep coming back and found the solution, the same solution I found in another program and whatever. I'm just grateful that it was here. And now, believe it or not, I'm ready to go into my communities. You know, I was on the phone line from the beginning, but I had to do that old-fashioned thing where they say, put the cottons in your mouth and take them out your ears, you know, because I thought I knew all the answers in the beginning for the first 20 years. And those last, for the last 5 years, 3 of those 5 years, I silenced myself just to, so I can absorb what was going on. And today I'm extremely grateful to go into my public community now and go to a face-to-face meeting and not just sell it, but to see how I can be of service. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you guys for allowing me to share, and I'm so grateful for this program.
Thank you, Dion R. I will now ask, I'll now create a list of those who will gently come on and let me hear your names.
Janice B.
Lindy. Oh, you guys are sweet. Thanks.
Crispy.
Rose M.
Anyone else? Okay. Janice B., Lindy, Crispy, and Rose M. Let's start with you, Janice, followed by Lindy.
Thank you. This is Janice B., recovering compulsive overeater in Vermont. Grateful to be here. Grateful to be opening my mouth. Thank you, God. Okay, so I'm going to take a couple of lines here. One is, but you may say, but I will not have the benefit of contact with you who write this book. And I can relate to saying, I can't do that. I can't do that without without you. I'm depending on someone else or something else, and thinking that I don't have this God inside me that is all powerful and guiding, and that's what the steps have given me. Working through the steps 2 and 3, I identified that higher power. I recognized that I yearned for these qualities that my higher power has, and that my way has not worked. And so I'm willing to do it a different way. I'm willing to turn my will and my life over to the care of that higher power and trust and seek guidance. And my life is different, you know. I build in to my day through working the 11th step, that pause where I'm not at reaction, but I'm more taken action based on my GPS. God positioning system, right? So, and so he will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. Your real reliance is always upon him. He will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. And you know, I crave connection, you know, but I've built up walls around myself where I don't feel the connection. And God is showing me how to act to break down those walls, and I hear the buzzer. So, okay. All right. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice B. It's a quiet buzzer, but my microphone was too close. Sorry. Lindy, followed by Crispy.
Hi, this is Lindy in Colorado. Love this reading. And the thing that really jumped out at me is the word real. It talks about real reliance on God. I never had a clue what that was before coming to OA and working those steps, but a real reliance on God gave me a real life, a real solution to this disease that I was tormented with for probably around 30 years. Tormented by food, tormented with life. So to go from that to a real reliance on God, having a real solution, those 12 steps, gave me a real life. And now I've got something in this real life. I have a purpose, and I can carry this message to others who are tormented by life. And it's such a different life. And, it, you know, the wonderful thing, too, about it is I've been on this path many years, and it continues to grow and change. It continues to get better. My relationship with my husband, we've been together for 4 years, has improved more in the last 6 months than probably, who knows, I don't know, but it has drastically improved. To be the warm, fuzzy, loving, deep relationship, even when we're tired and crabby, you know? Thank you, God. That's from real reliance on God. That instead of being tormented with my self-centered thinking, how can I get what I want out of life? And I also have a special meaning with the sentence that says, God will determine that. So you must remember that your real reliance will fall on that. It's that he will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. That happened when I moved, relocated, couple thousand miles, and no big book study, started big book study, and wow, fellowship I craved right there in a place I was very unfamiliar with. But what about this lovely phone meeting and all the opportunities to carry the message? It creates the fellowship I crave, and I certainly crave God. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Lindy. Chris B., followed by Rose M.
Hi, Chris B., compulsive overeater. Can I be heard?
Yes, Chris.
Great to be here, guys. I'm grateful for the vision line. It's a wonderful way to connect, as was shared, and this big book message, the fellowship we crave. I can't do this alone, guys. I never could. I always wanted to, for some reason, I thought I was going to be awarded this thing in OA or the ceremony. I had my mind fantasized about, you know, you were able to get out of the obsession alone, Chris. You know, my ego just wants to run with that, and that's not going to happen. It's not possible. It's not necessary. It's not something I value today. And I'm grateful that I can reach out to other sponsors and ask them how they sponsored someone or struggles I'm having with sponsees or with a relationship. I can, you know, enter a new relationship, whether it be professional, personal, and make it spiritual, and ask how God would want me to be. That's something I have to practice. Reacting is something I'm so used to. I'm not used to pausing. And it's a wonderful thing to get a call from someone in New York. You know, I'm in St. Louis. To get a call and be like, man, someone's calling from Ireland. No, that's, you know, China. Who's on the line? Well, it's probably a visionary. But it's a wonderful thing to be of service, to answer that call, to not stay under the covers. As I've seen that movie, I know how that one ends. And it's not a place I want to continue going. It's a darkness that my self-will, spiritual malady is kind of taken over. And I just love this part of the book. It's fellowship we crave. It's, you know, a phrase that I use with my sponsors and my buddies. You know, it's a wonderful thing. Like other people that are recovering the same way out of the big book that have this solution, the spiritual solution that they're looking for in the food. You know, I'm attracted to that. I want to make a call and ask how they're doing or get out of my own self-will when I can still get lost and spiritually sick and be spiritually hungry throughout the day. And, you know, I don't need to count the phone calls or the meetings anymore. This gray area has been welcomed into my life. And I'm still learning so much. So many questions. I don't have all the answers. And I'm just happy to be on the line with other compulsive overeaters. I love pressing the asterisk and zero to hear how many people are on the call. It's an amazing thing when we get to say the prayer later together. It's just that connection is very powerful and something that's keeping me out of the obsession right now as we speak. It's keeping me in the present. It's giving me peace of mind that I could never give myself with logic or with my own thinking, my best thinking, my ego. And I just cannot be more thankful to you all online and to a spiritual solution that's saving my life today. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Chris B. Rose M.
Hi, this is Rose M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Philadelphia area. When I read this first paragraph that we're reading, particularly where it says he found a place probably contained more alcoholics per square mile than any city in the country. It just reminds me of the pervasiveness of compulsive overeating and the health problems that people are suffering from because of it in our country. And, I'm a nurse, and I've seen the effects of it on people. And I watched my own mother suffer from the consequences of compulsive overeating. And it's heartbreaking. it's really, really heartbreaking to watch. And it was even more so heartbreaking before I knew there was a solution, to watch myself go through it and to think that there was no way out, and to think that I was just going the same path as my mother and things are never going to be any better. You know, and I'm so grateful for this fellowship and for the program. And, you know, I still think, I think about the people who I've met, patients who I used to care for. And I just, I'm really just struck every day about the necessity to spread the message. Especially when I think about the perspective that I used to be in, not knowing that there was a solution at all. You know, I do believe that we are abnormal eaters. You know, of course, there are moderate eaters out there, people who can simply stop eating. However, as compulsive overeaters, we are not the only ones. Us in the fellowship talking to each other are not the only ones. And there are so many people out there suffering who need to hear the message. And, you know, I feel like when I'm reading about just offering an opportunity to recover, if he can and he will, that's, you know, that's what we're really called to do, you know, whether it's sponsoring, you know, reaching out to new people who need hope. You know, and people yesterday on the line were talking about great ideas like having workshops in their community, putting up posters from, you know, OA about the program. Just amazing things you can do. Even, you know, I've talked to my physician about the program, and he shared the information with patients of his who he feels have, you know, been struggling with compulsive overeating. And, you know, it says also in these passages that more than half of those approached became members of AA. And if you translate that over to OA, that's a better track record out there than anything else. And you're giving people hope. And you all gave me so much hope, and you continue to every day. So thank you. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Roseanne. For those of you who are just on the line, we're on page 163, and it is the second paragraph that starts with, we know of an AA member, and we read through four paragraphs, ending with, he will show you how to create the fellowship that you crave and who would like to share.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. Who else? Awfully quiet.
Lisa F.
Lisa F. Anyone else?
Bonnie M.
Ann A.
Bonnie M. and Ann A.
Wendy
M. Sherry KB.
Wendy M. and Sherry KB.
Judy I.
Judy, what's the last? I can't hear, but that's okay. When you get on, you could just tell me. Okay, we've got Reggie O, Lisa S, Bonnie M, Ann A, Wendy M, Sherry KB, and Judy. And we'll find out the initial when we get on. Reggie O, you start. Lisa, you're behind her.
Can you hear me, Sylvia?
Yes.
Great, great. Good morning. Thanks so much for your service. It's so great to be here on the line with you and everybody. And, you know, what kept coming to me is as we were reading this and I was listening to people sharing is the power of a common purpose, you know, and like our fifth tradition, you know, the only purpose we have here is to carry the message to other compulsive overeaters. And, you know, for most of us who come into this program, then our purpose and our main intention is to recover from compulsive eating. And that's what we do and that's what we're about. And I'm just thinking of the power of the increase and the power of numbers, you know. It starts with one, it multiplies rapidly, as, you know, some people were talking about in the book yesterday. And, you know, you can see from the numbers from you know, 1 to 100 to the, you know, the millions today. And it's really fascinating, you know. And then when the AA member went to New York, he had lived there but a few weeks, and he found the place probably, you know, contained so many more alcoholics than he would ever have imagined, so much possibility out there. And I was thinking about that earlier this week, or in the past week, with compulsive eating. You know, if they're compulsive eaters, you know, we compulsive eaters are everywhere. You know, I run into one or more, you know, most places I go, or seemingly, you know, without taking anybody's inventory. And I was thinking about the small town in southeast Georgia where my family lives, and it's, you know, a town of about, I don't know, 4,000 to 4,500 people, and I know some compulsive eaters there because they're in my family, you know, in my extended family. And I was thinking, when I've been there in the past, I've called to see if there were local meetings anywhere, there was one, but it was maybe 27 miles away, and that was the only one nearby that town. I don't know if that's changed, but I would be willing to bet that there's not a single, you know, that there's not a single OA meeting in that town, or probably for a few miles around. And I thought, it was just this, you know, had this flash, the stream, boy, wouldn't it be great to go to, you know, to go to this town and, you know, put up some posters, call a meeting, see if there was any interest anywhere. So that was one thing. And then what happens at the bottom when a few men in the city have found themselves, I love that, found themselves and discovered the joy of helping others to face life again. You know, that's what happens. And there's no stopping when this does happen. It just carries forward. But I know certainly years ago, many years ago, when I first came into this program and when I became recovered the first time, I did find myself in a way that I had not in so many years in my life. And, you know, and there's the bell. So I'm going to stop there. Just grateful to share and be here with all of you.
Thank you, Reggie O. Lisa S., followed by Bonnie M. Lisa, star one. We'll give you another second to get
okay.
On. There we go.
Sorry about that.
Thanks.
Okay.
That's okay.
Hi, my name is Lisa S. I'm in Colorado. I'm a compulsive overeater and grateful to be here. I am grateful to feel like the newcomer. I do crave the fellowship like the book talks about, and am grateful for all of you folks out there that have come together to focus on the big book recovery, the way you are with this singleness of purpose. I need you guys. And I didn't want to talk because I feel so vulnerable. But I wanted to do it anyway, because that's what we're here for, and to give hope and strength to other newcomers out there that this is worth it and this works. I know it works. I've had some amazing recovery, actually, over the past year and a half with OA and with working the 12 steps in the big book. And I'm really grateful to start over, and I'm grateful that I'm humbled right now, because sometimes it's hard to set aside what we think we know. And so I think this is doing it for me again. I know that the real reliance is on my higher power, but I also know that I can't isolate and do this alone. And that the fellowship is part of it. So thank you, and with that, we'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa S. Bonnie M., followed by Ann A.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M. from Anthem, Arizona. And what really stood out for me was he will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. And and the reason it stood out so much is because I know I crave the fellowship, but I don't have the fellowship I crave. And it's not that it hasn't been offered to me. I mean, everything we need, or everything I need, has been offered to me in this program. But where I am weak is on making phone calls to others and letting others love me. I can be there for anybody that calls me and feel like I can be a major support, and I can do all the other tools. And I can make the phone calls too. The issue is I let my thinking stand in the way of me doing that consistently. And I live in an area where there's only one very small face-to-face meeting where I live, and it's a pretty good drive to go to another meeting. And so I limit myself in using this program work for me to the best of my ability. I've had a lot of recovery, but you know, when I ask myself, where am I not going to any lengths? It's in reaching out and saying, I need your help. I'm willing to let you love me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Bonnie M. Ann A, followed by Wendy M.
Hi, this is Ann A. Thanks for everybody being here. Thanks for the meeting. I don't know that there's much more I can say that hasn't already been said. My story's being echoed in the shares that have gone before me. I will say that I've been in the rooms for a while, and with vision, I just love the focus of the first 164 pages and being in the solution and the line, you know, the fellowship we crave. I certainly do crave the fellowship, and I haven't always been good about not isolating. And most recently, I've definitely been more quiet than I needed to be, and so I'm making the effort to break the silence and speak up more at meetings and participate and be of service that way. And I've realized that I have allowed pride and perfection to keep me quiet. And those are character defects that do not serve me nor my higher power. So I am speaking out, and so appreciate the meeting this morning. And I guess with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Ann A. Wendy M., followed by Sherry KB.
Yes, good morning. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado, and grateful to be entirely abstinent this morning. And thank you, everyone on the line, and Sylvia, for your service. So the word I want to focus in on is just the word crave. I just think it's so apt as an overeater because I really get that word. And, you know, of course, craving food was my entire history, you know, exactly like everybody else on the line. But, you know, also craving attention, craving love. I mean, really craving this stuff, like desperate. Like, you know, somebody said on the line yesterday, or at a meeting face-to-face, you know, I eat and I keep eating because I never want to feel hungry. I never want to feel that feeling. And I totally understood that. So it's a constant craving. And today the craving has changed because I've had a spiritual experience. And, you know, the craving today is craving for sanity and serenity and patience. Oh, dear gosh. And craving compassion and understanding, love and tolerance. Crave that. And I want to just say that last night I was at a meeting, like a board meeting, and I just binged on myself. I just, you know, it was one of those, why am I talking, you know? And boy, I just wanted to look good. And it's, you know what it is? It's almost embarrassing. It's almost embarrassing because it was so obvious. You know, my craving for self, my craving for looking good was just all over there, all over the map, you know. And when I got home, I didn't crave food. I craved sanity. You know, and the thing about this program is I can be out there just all about Wendy, and then, like, it doesn't take long for God to show up and say, hi, I'm here, let's write about it. Hi, I'm here, let's pray about it. You know, and the difference is, in the past, I wouldn't have even known that I was binging on self the entire meeting. You know, that all I wanted to do was act out resentment, gossip, talk poorly about other people. I felt so horrible when I got home. And thank God I craved sanity today. And I'm going to do what it takes to get back to sanity and to get back to, you know, being connected, right, with God, you know, with that real reliance always upon God. And the difference is today I'm not going to go eat over how I acted last night. I just clean up my part, right? Clean house, serve God, clean house. And that's what I get to do. And then I get to read a 10th step to a fellow. And, you know, it's a miraculous program because today I'm not going to sit in shame. Today I get to just humbly look at my defects of character. And I get to share that with you guys. I get to share with another. I ain't perfect. And this is continuing for a lifetime. You know, I am not done, not even close ever. And so I just really wanted to share that. And then if I have a second, just if you're struggling on the line right now, give somebody a call today. It's a miraculous thing when we go from not calling and isolating to picking up that phone and telling us honestly how you are and seeking help, because this really works. I'm going to stop there. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thank you, Wendy M. Sherry KB, followed by Judy I.
Good morning, Sylvia. Good morning, everybody. This is Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service, Sylvia, and everyone on the line, and welcome everyone. I just so appreciate the shares this morning. I've been very touched by several. You know, here it talks about in the first paragraph that we read about the stream of misery which flows through the institution. What I think about is the stream of misery that I've seen people suffer in meetings, and that they don't know about this group of people or that they can get help. And, you know, I've been one of those people, though. You know, I really have been one of those people. And I'm grateful to say I'm not one of those people, but I want to be there for the people that still are suffering. And to me, that is a way for me to be useful. And for people who want this, I want to be able to give back what I've been generously been given. And it says here, some of them may sink and perhaps never get up. But if our experience is criterion, more than half of those approached will become fellows of, let's just say, Overeaters Anonymous. So that's what I'm hoping is, you know, my step guide when I was working with her said, Sherry, get as many people out of the water into the boat as you can. That's what she used to tell me. And I always think about that, and that the whole point of this is for me to be useful and to serve my higher power and to help others. And I can only give back what I've been generously been given, and just set the joy that I do get in helping others and being useful and seeing them, you know, see a sponsee, you know, start out, you know, reading the doctor's opinion and just see the changes going on as we're doing the work. It's just remarkable to me. It is just amazing. And then God will determine that, you know, if you meet some of us and we're here and, you know, that I must rely on my real reliance is on a higher power. What I always think about is, you know, what if one day this meeting isn't here? What if the meetings weren't there? I would need to rely on God. And what I was taught doing this book is that the whole point of this book is to have full reliance on my higher power, to turn to my higher power for ease and comfort and not turn to the food anymore, because it's so much better when I turn to my higher power. And just, too, that, you know, I do crave a fellowship, and I'm building one. And I hope you come to our workshop tonight. It's on resentment, and resentment kills. And we just love this workshop, and we're so grateful for it and for the fellowship. And, you know, I always need to remember that my reliance needs to be fully on my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Judy I. Star one, Judy.
Hi, my name is Judy. I am from Northern California.
Go ahead.
Oh, great. Thank you so much for your service and for this meeting. I've been just listening to it every morning on my way to work and haven't had the courage to speak up, but I just really wanted to grab my seat, as they say, or own my seat, and say that I have been isolating and I am struggling, and I feel like the reading today really spoke to me. I live in an area also that doesn't have a lot of meetings, and I do a lot of driving for work, and so I haven't been able to get to face-to-face meetings, and so I've started listening to these meetings every morning on my way to work, and I'm craving the fellowship, and I feel like that is something that just helped me in the past, and I'm missing it now. So I'm feeling like I want to make more of a commitment to this meeting, these meetings, and this way of working the steps. I know that it's worked for me in the past, and I'm just so grateful to be able to listen to the recovery every morning and get my head on straight as I'm getting ready for my day driving in the car. So thank you, everybody. I'm really grateful to have this meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Judy. And if you stick around, mute yourself and stick around until like 3 or 4 more minutes, you can introduce yourself and get a lot of calls from us. So stick around for the newcomer greeter. And I have time for probably one, maybe two short shares or one long share, one regular.
Gina R.
Gina R. And who else was that?
Marietta P.
Marietta P. Probably won't have time for you, but we'll see. So Gina R., go.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. And I will keep this short so she can get into. This is Gina R., gratefully recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body in Green Valley, Arizona. That craving the fellowship we crave. I am out there doing what has been suggested I do, which is, and I love to share that just Sherry KB, you know, get as many people as you can into the lifeboat. And I have been attending a face-to-face meeting here in my new community, getting to know them and bringing my big book. And, you know, they share from the readers. And thankfully, I know the big book well enough by now that I can point back to the big book and say, oh, well, this is what the big book has to say about what that reader says. So I'm keeping on their topic and I'm sharing the message. And yesterday, there were a couple shares that I had, and the answer was so strong. At the end, one of the ladies came up and she said, you just must be so frustrated with us that we won't do this. And I gave her a hug and I said, I am not frustrated. I am not frustrated. I am simply here bringing the solution. She said, everything you read out of that book makes so much sense to me, but I just feel so scared that I don't know how to do it. So I see people craving this and the courage it takes to do this. And so I'm not being thwarted. I'm just going to continue to show up, suit up, do what, you know, you guys have told me works, and let God work on her. And I will be there for her in any capacity that she wants. And I know that she is craving this fellowship and the disease is trying to keep her in the water. So with that, I pass and I thank you for giving me this time.
Thank you, Gina R. And Marietta, I have one more minute and I'd love to let you have it.
Okay, and all I want to do is reread God Will Determine That. So you must remember that our real reliance is always upon Him. And at this point, on page 64, I, as a recovered compulsive overeater, is what I can bring to is to be my recovery, to stay recovered, to work the program, so I can be a living example of what has transformed from a compulsive overeater into recovery. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Marietta. So thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to Team Wednesday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And after that, remember to stick around for the newcomer greeters and the announcers. Announcements. So will Rocky I please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hello, can I be heard?
Yes.
Hi, this is Rocky I in Tempe, Arizona. Thank you, everybody, for sharing. What a great share. So now I will close. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us, asking in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the miracle. So is that what I'm reading? All of a sudden, it didn't sound right.
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who's still sick. The answers will come if your own health is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.